Do-do-do-do, yeah, we are here. Freedomslips.com, the best internet radio you can find. And since all our listeners have kept up with some of the donations till the end of this month, I see we need more clicks. Go to the homepage, go to the chat room, and press that donate button. And here we are at Revolution Radio. It's Friday. Oh, what a week. This has just been an outstanding week. And even though there's earth changes and now everybody's allowed to get married, in my opinion, it just seems like we're just pushing too much paper and not using enough of the true reality of the spirit of life that we're being here. Oh, no, we got to have new cars, new houses, and new everything, even though China's creating it. So we're not even economized in this own country, which really suits me not favorably. But it's time to wake up to all kinds of consciousnesses. So that's why I invited Mr. Dan Winter. Hello, sir. How art thou?
Nice to be with you and nice to share.
Oh, I'm glad, because we need some enlightenment, you know? I mean, think that's really what it is. It's not a new age. It's an enlightenment to the reality of all age, in my opinion, anyway.
So what we have is we have the latest kind of breakthrough science, which reports with an important spiritual and emotional implication. And yeah. I prepared some information about that, which I think is very exciting.
I'm stoked.
Specifically, we just announced a fractal theory of gravity, which has implications for the nature of emotion and compassion and actually spiritual evolution. People can read along at the website on this new. We start with the science, and then we move to the fun part about the spiritual implications. So the website about the science is fractalfield.com/conjugategravity. C-O-N-J-U-G-A-T-E, fractalfield.com/conjugategravity. And you could read along. It's the newest article at Fractal Field. You know what a fractal field is? A fractal in science means infinite compressibility. You can zoom in forever. And this has powerful, of course, physics implications, but the spiritual implications are even more fun. So you all know that when you see something like a Mandelbrot fractal where you can zoom in forever. So mathematics has always been clear that fractality means infinite compressibility. We're going to relate that to the nature of compassion, which is perfect compression. But the new information from the science side, for starters here, is that our group has identified what a fractal electric field is. That's new information, which is why the website is called fractalfield.com. And again, this is going to point directly to the nature of what you feel in your heart, which is what I'm a bit famous for, the invention of the concept of heart coherence. So that's why the website is fractalfield.com. So we're going to try to tell that story first from the science perspective and then explore if we understand the spiritual meaning. You know, in history, the discovery of compressibility, how to compress well, is almost entirely the history of computing, for example. Everything about computing, from hardware to software, is all about discovering compression, successful, which is to say non-destructive compression. And that's old news. But did you know that even in this, the history of language, or how about in the history of urban design, the discovery of how to do non-destructive compression is the essence of how to build a city. We say that because the magnetic map of Prague is quite literally a rose, it's possible to attract people and money and tourists and even lucid dreaming because the charge distribution is efficient when the magnetic map looks like a rose.
Cool.
So, you know,
but wait a minute, I just had a beautiful picture. Is that in the bud form or the open form? Anyway.
No, it's true. On our website, you'll see the picture in our biologic
I tried to get there. Could you drop that link in chat, in my
sure.
Skype chat? Because otherwise, I'm not a good searcher like that. My spelling sucks, for one thing.
The link for this conversation fractalfield.com/conjugategravity is, I just put it in your Skype chat.
Thank you, dear.
It's also at the top of our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/fractalfield.
Nice.
Pretty easy to find.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
So you're, but to answer your question, actually, that the famous original magnetic map of Prague, which is literally a fractal, is quite literally an open rose. You see, a rose is an image of something that can unpack from center infinitely because the geometry is perfectly compressible. And when you discover perfect compression, you then discover perfect radiance. When you have perfect packing, you have learned about perfect unpacking. This has profound spiritual implications, and we'll talk about that. But I thought if we did about 3 minutes of the serious science here, then the people out there would know that we're not just woo-woos. We actually have breakthrough science, which leads to spiritual understanding.
This is so cool.
Do you think we can bear 3 minutes of serious science here?
I'll give you 3.5.
So, no, here's the serious science. Many people know that Nassim Haramein had developed a new algorithm for the radius and mass, particularly the mass of a proton. And in the process, he proved something called the golden mean ratio was essential for it's called the universal scaling law, which shows that from the formation of the proton all the way up to formation of black holes, the universal scaling ratio is the golden mean ratio. Well, I had been developing a physics around that called the mathematics of fusion. The website, fractalfield.com/mathematics of fusion. And the physics we built, which is new, which we proved that the golden mean ratio is the solution to constructive wave interference. That's new information, and the wave equations are at that link.
Outside implications of the influences, that's rather something to try to keep up with.
Well, we know that golden mean ratio is the definition of beauty, for example. But the reason it's beautiful is physics. And the reason it's spiritual is physics. Mm-hmm. And how to understand spirituality and eliminate religion wars, we need physics. This is my mission here.
I agree totally, because that's what we've been denied, the facts behind the truth of the elements of our existence.
Exactly. So I'm on this little soapbox that we can eliminate religion wars and personality worship.
Welcome to mine. And
replace it with self-empowerment. Mm-hmm. And it makes spirituality more beautiful and more rich to understand the science. So that's a soapbox that I've been on my whole life, and we're having fun with it. So the point I was making was that if we understood constructive wave interference is the primary reason why golden mean ratio is beautiful, then we understand some incredibly powerful things, including compassion and psychokinesis and cosmic stuff, which we want to get to here.
Right.
So in the process of building these equations, they're called wave equations, that prove that golden mean ratio is the solution to constructive wave interference, that proved that golden mean ratio is the solution to constructive compression, constructive charge compression. It's related to something called phase conjugation, which is the adding and multiplying or conjugating of phases. The easiest way to understand phase conjugation is to visualize the symbol of Hermes, the caduceus, the symbol of the medical profession. In physics, that's called perfect damping or the conjugation of phases. It happens that in physics, if you do that with lasers, conjugate, you produce negentropy, which is self-organization, and you produce time reversal. You can actually bring things back to a more ordered state. You can turn back the clock on your aging, for example. We have examples. You'll see it there at the main article, the conjugate gravity article. We do that with a plasma. It makes a cold fire, which is related to what's called a cold flame, related to what's called the holy fire in Jerusalem, that a lot of these spiritual stories about the light showing up has to do with understanding how plasma does this. So anyway, we showed that the golden mean ratio was, in fact, the solution to infinite non-destructive compression, which it turns out was Einstein's name for gravity. That he said, quote, if I understood infinite compression, I would have the unified field and I'd have gravity, because he died not knowing why an object falls to the ground. And unfortunately, most of physics today does not know why an object falls to the ground. And I say we must know that, otherwise we can't know what to do with our own spirit. So the cause of gravity turns out to be this golden mean ratio. And we have published newly this unified field physics, which we're not saying it replaces Einstein. No, Einstein did great work, but he screwed up in some critical areas. For example, he thought the speed of light was a speed limit, and he's wrong. And the other thing, he never knew what a fractal was. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he didn't. He said, quote, if I understood infinite compression. So if someone had told him what a fractal was, he would have a shot at a unified field. But now that we do know what infinite compression is. So we worked on the mathematics, and it turns out that this golden mean spiral identifies, and that's the new equation you'll see at the top of that for conjugate gravity article, that I wrote a new equation that newly explains the radii of hydrogen. If you take the Planck length and time are just the universal musical key signature of every wave physics has ever measured. It's universally agreed in physics to be the key signature of all of the universe, of all of matter, Planck length and time, 1.61 times 10 to the minus 33 centimeters. So if you take that, the quantum musical fundamental of the quantum foam, and you simply do whole number powers of golden mean ratio, called phase conjugation or implosion, you get, in my new equation, not just the radii of hydrogen, but if you do the Planck time, you get the only two frequencies of photosynthesis, you get the frequencies of the Schumann resonance, you get the duration of the Earth year and the Venus year, you get fractality in time for the first time defined. And that's why the title of my new book is called Fractal Spacetime, because I have for the first time absolutely defined the wave geometry of fractal space and time based on Planck length and time times exact powers of golden ratio. The new book is at fractalfield.com. Check it out. So, point being that now we have done some really hard, solid, serious physics around this.
This is cool.
It's very cool because I originally became a little bit famous for inventing the concept of heart coherence, and I taught Heart Math Institute, but they still got it wrong. But anyway, but heart coherence was based on this idea of fractality causing the heart field to compress during compassion. But I knew I had to prove the physics in order to teach the spiritual physics. And so now, just yesterday, actually, it's new, this breakthrough, and now we have this very solid physics, which is a new theory of gravity, which is solid physics, which explains for the first time why an object falls to the ground. So first let me explain why an object falls to the ground in terms that a kindergartner could understand, something that Einstein did not understand. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay, here it is. You know, I newly proved that the radii of hydrogen are based on the golden mean spiral. We knew the golden mean spiral is the primary geometry of planetary orbitals. We know it's the geometry of the major masses of the universe. They're dodecahedral. New Scientist magazine and Scientific American proved that. So we know the golden mean spiral is the primary geometry of all massive forces in the universe. Nassim helped me prove that. But what we didn't know was what I have now proved, that this golden mean spiral is the cause, I say cause, of gravity. And here's the explanation for your local child to understand what Einstein didn't. When waves travel down the golden mean spiral, they may make a nest of pentagrams. It's very pretty. You'll see the pictures all over our website. It looks like a rose.
Oh, I'm excited. I wish I would have looked yesterday when you posted it on Facebook.
Yes, fractalfield.com/conjugate gravity.
Right.
It's the top picture. It's a picture of a pentagram flower and the new physics of hydrogen from my new equation. So here's the cause of gravity. So you can explain it to your... So my suggestion is you have your child explain this to their physics teacher who doesn't know why an object falls to the ground, okay? Here's my suggestion.
Okay.
Here's the explanation. Okay. So when a wave travels down the golden mean spiral, it crosses at the nodes, the cross points, of a nest of pentagrams. And what happens is that only down that path is it possible to both add and multiply. Remember, the golden mean ratio is the only progression that both adds and multiplies. This is called arithmetic and geometric progression. It is the definition of what golden mean ratio is. So, as the wave travels down that nest of pentacles, like a rose,
mm-hmm.
that's the only path that allows the wavelengths to add and multiply recursively, constructively. It's called heterodyning or recursive wave interference. It adds and multiplies not just the wavelength, but the wave speeds. The wave front phase velocity is a technical term. What it means simply is like a surfer that when two waves come together and the surfer is shot like a gun from the center of the tube, the two waves that just crossed have added and multiplied the speed of the wave front. It's called phase velocity in science. What this means is the golden mean ratio is the only one, only geometry, that allows the wave velocity to recursively add and multiply constructively. And you know what that does? It turns that compression of charge, nest of pentagrams, into acceleration of charge towards center. Because suddenly a part of the wave is going faster as it goes towards center. Something only golden mean ratio allows, because it's a solution to constructive wave interference. Constructive wave interference is not just the wavelength, but the wave phase velocity. So in that way, golden ratio spiral, the yellow brick road to Oz, in that geometry only can the wave front constructively add and multiply the speed, the phase velocity. That's the cause of acceleration of charge towards center. Now, what a lot of people don't understand is that acceleration of charge is the highest form of the definition of gravity. What Einstein said when he said that acceleration was indiscriminable from gravity, what he meant was that when you're standing in an elevator and the elevator goes up and you feel more gravity, that gravity you feel is, there is no experiment you could do that could differentiate that gravity that came from acceleration than the gravity you feel by standing on the Earth. It's the same stuff.
Right.
So the point is that acceleration is gravity, quite literally. This is solid physics.
So it would be like an opposite, right?
Well, it just means that acceleration is the definition of gravity. So the point is that now we know what causes acceleration of charge towards center, golden mean spiral. We now know what causes gravity. We now, for the first time, know why an object falls to the ground. Now, this sounds like a poetry that you'd tell to a six-year-old, except, excuse me, this is actually, I mean, we've been teaching this for 20 years, but now, yesterday, we have the solid physics to apply this to actually do what Einstein couldn't, complete the unified field, because... Now, I'm going to do the science for 2 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, the science is that our wonderful friend Mark Rohrbach, and you will see all this at fractalfield.com/conjugategravity, he wrote a new set of equations which, for the first time in history, showed the simple geometry of the ratio of the mass of the proton to the mass of the electron. This is new information. You know, when I helped Elizabeth Rauscher start the fundamental physics group 40 years ago, I don't know, it's a long time, I'm old.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Elizabeth Rauscher, who's probably the most famous physicist on the planet, and she's been on our team and worked with us for a long time. Her dream was that we'd get all of the constants of physics from pure geometry. What a fabulous dream. Well, it
totally
turns out
makes sense to me.
in other words, there is no mystery about physics. It's all the beautiful geometry of wave mechanics understood in pure geometric terms and so self-empowering. So yesterday, or 2 days ago, we found out that Mark Rohrbach's new equation, he used the Rydberg constant, and he used one other thing in the Planck length. He used Nassim Haramein's new definition of the mass of the proton to prove that he could derive from pure geometry the ratio of the mass of the proton electron. This is the holy grail of physics. I mean, we're talking about, you know, probably the most important equation that's been written since Einstein, actually. Excuse me, guys, but if you want to study some science, today's your day. fractalfield.com/conjugategravity. So,
seriously, when,
the moment that he proved that Nassim Schwarzschild, it's called a Schwarzschild proton. It just means the mass of the proton. It turns out this is virtually identical to something called the muonic hydrogen proton, which is just, if you take a proton out of the atom, it suddenly gets bigger. And the ratio of that size to the size when it's inside the atom is predicted by this new equation. Anyway, because now we have the holy grail of physics, the pure geometry of the relationship of the proton and the electron, and because it's based on Nassim's golden ratio Schwarzschild proton, suddenly, at the same time that Nassim Haramein's mathematics for the proton is proven, because it allowed us for the first time to actually know the geometry of the proton and the electron, at the same time, Marx said that his equation also proved my phase conjugate golden ratio geometry of gravity work, because, this is the sentence at the top of the web article, I just gave you the link, fractalfield.com/conjugate gravity. The sentence is this: protons and gravity exist because of fractal conjugate embedding in the electron. And then there's a picture. So it says only the golden spiral allows charge compression trajectory to add phase velocity. So this only is the only cause of gravity. So the reason protons exist is because they're a fractal inside the electron. This is the proof. And that means the geometry of the electrical arc that connects the electron to the proton is phase conjugation. And the electric arc that connects the proton to the electron is called gravity. Hello. So anyway, I'm done with the hard science now. We can do the fun stuff.
Oh, this is neat. Okay, I was going down your page. I'm a commercial artist and an artist at heart, and I love flipping buckyballs and all the ideas of, it makes me want to put my pentacle back on, okay? But most people would consider that, whoops.
Go ahead.
Well, it was a little loud, so I was hearing myself.
It's okay. You know, you mentioned the buckyball. I worked with Buckminster Fuller for many years in Detroit University. The
architecture was
close to our electrical engineering facility, University of Detroit, and I carried the geodesic dome with Bucky onto the stage in Detroit with Buckminster Fuller. But then later, I lived with him for a week at the conference in Florence, Italy, and he personally taught me the jitterbug, which is now the physics, which is how you take this cube octa and vector flexor it into icosadodec. It's called jitterbug. And Nassim is correct. The golden spiral path you make with a jitterbug is the nature of the vacuum, but also it is the physics of superconductivity. And because it creates the golden spiral, it's actually the cause of gravity. Well, I worked with Bucky personally on that. Sadly, Buckminster Fuller didn't understand that spherical metal structures are actually geopathic. So geodesic dome metal made of metal are actually unhealthy. You know, but there's a few things that Bucky mixed. But one thing that Bucky got
right. Oh, really? Out of metal, huh?
Yeah, no.
Interesting.
You know, in Waynesville there, the biodome community that I helped found there, unfortunately, the metal geodesic dome that Bucky helped build and John Denver installed, and we did that was part of our community for many years, the actual biologic field, the capacitance inside that spherical metal geodesic dome was poisonous. And we know exactly why, because it's opposite to a phase conjugator. And we'll explain that in a minute.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, it's simple. You see, your house needs to be made of biologic material, phase conjugate, high dielectric, because it allows your aura to breathe. So if you have a metal roof, it decreases your ability to plasma project, called lucid dreaming, plus not to mention dying successfully. I mean, it's not a long story. It's biologic architecture. We have a huge international curriculum on that, goldenmean.info.
Oh, because when I was going to build my geodesic dome, it was going to be all out of wood. Now,
well, that's better. That's better. But it turns out that actually nature uses the egg shape, and that's even better. And that's because it's plasma projective. And,
so it should be an Earth home.
Yeah, well, an Earth home.
Earth or whatever they're called.
Egg shapes made of biologic materials are fabulous dielectrics and excellent for your aura.
It doesn't, because corners, don't they contain a stoppage as well as a releaseage kind of thing?
That's very good. It's very appropriate that you mention that, because, in fact, we have been teaching the physics of
Chui for many years. And it is correct to say that a right angle is bad feng shui, but as with everything, the reason it's right is physics. The physics is that right angles, 90 degree, create destructive wave interference for charge. And that's why it's evil. And that's why also a 90 degree angle in astrology is considered stress.
Well, it's a square, right? Mm, I do astrology, so.
Yes, exactly. But the reason a square is stress in astrology and bad for feng shui is physics, and that physics is destructive versus constructive wave interference. And a right angle called the octave, figure eight, cubic architecture, by definition creates max destructive interference. What a lot of people don't know.
They didn't teach me that when I got my architecture degree, which is rather interesting to hear this right now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is the tragedy. So, in fact, the physics is that the musical octave based on powers of two is max destructive interference. So if you make octaves in your brainwave, you actually create a kind of schizophrenia. It ain't so wonderful.
I get your drift, though. But what about the center of the situation? Because a pyramid, which does, as long as it goes to its fifth point, has a whole lot of interesting energy that goes with it. But this is cool. We got our first break, sugar. We'll be back after that, okay?
See you after the break.
Thanks. Super. I might be stuck. Oh, because it was a great break. And welcome back. Yeah, here we are, freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio. And it is Adventures of a Feral Hippie, Hippie, Hippie. And if you haven't yet donated, please go there. But we also have archives, $5 a month, with hundreds and hundreds of shows. Thousands, to be exact. But hey, we're not going too fractaled now, are we? Or are we, Mr. Dan?
To be fractal is perfectly embedded.
And that's, I see fractals as the mirror bevel.
Well, and you know what a mirror bevel is? If you zoomed in a Valentine shape, that's what phase conjugation is.
You're not expecting me to remember all these words, right?
Oh, there's a test. The test is coming up. The test is when you die, I think, but I'm not sure. No. So it's about if your aura is coherent enough to go through death. And this is actually what it's about. That's the ka, your boat to the underworld. And how that aura gets charged is called cold plasma. And attracting that charge is about fractality. And that's what we're about. Remember what they said in Celestine Prophecy, which I think...
Celestine Prophecy.
I think the one of the latter ones was written in a place called Asheville, North Carolina. You know where that is? Oh, that's where you are. No. It was written there. And what they said in Celestine Prophecy was, they said, all human interaction is about charge, which is another name for grace or your aura or your chi or your spirit or your ka. So you decide who you're going to kiss and what you're going to eat and who you're going to hug and what tree, etc., based on charge, the capacitive field. And what attracts charge is what is centripetal, which is to say what is fractal or imploding. So literally, to learn about charge attraction is the science we're talking about now, fractalfield.com.
But that's from the heart, right?
And that's where we're going with this, yes.
Oh, okay.
Where we were at in the conversation, we were talking about my old buddy Buckminster Fuller, and where he was sort of reborn or really got immortal was the moment when chemists discovered that if you take carbon and you expose it to a spark, instead of carbon being what you would think, a diamond, lattice, cube octa, or octahedral, if you put it in the presence of a spark, the carbon bond unpacks slightly, and the same triangle that used to be diamond, octa, becomes dodeca, pentagonal dodecahedron. And that was called, it was named after Buckminster Fuller's death. The chemists of the world named that Buckminster Fullerene. You know why? Because it looked like a geodesic dome. And you know what? Buckminster Fullerene was for many years the hottest, most popular subject in all of chemistry. And you know why? Because carbon in the shape of a geodesic dome called fullerene has amazing, amazing properties. It makes a magic zero point spot in the middle. It's related to monoatomic carbon and carbon lattice structure and graphene, thin film superconductors, and carbon nanotubes, which is like a dodecahedron spun down a helix just like DNA, and just like DNA can be superconductive. It's all kinds of magic stuff. Now, we could talk about that at length, but that's all in our article about cold plasma and rotating these monoatomics. And we work with Dr. Keshe on this. And the article is fractalfield.com/cold plasma. Lots of pictures. But the point about that conversation that we wanted to do a little bit today was that when that golden spiral down that vortex, you said you wanted to talk about vortex and tunnels and wormholes today. Didn't you say that? I think I remember.
Oh, I just remembered that that's part of the system. But what I wanted to say to you, because I've looked at part of your page, and it besides the buck part, which was really cool, I was going down the page, and one of these symbols reminded me as like almost the string theory or wave theory, and you know, it depends on its length and its width, etc., I would believe. But it's also as above, so below, within as without, which is also another center.
Actually, the terms as above, so below, and I am that I am are a name for the principle of fractality. The inside looks like the outside, so it's perfect. And you're right to speak about the wormhole and the string theory, because we know that physics, in a sense, has no other subject than wormholes and string theory, because that's how everything is made. They glue together these little tornadoes.
And so what Einstein didn't have comprehension yet of, because I've been witnessing, I apologize, but I got to bring this in, that crop circles, they first started in a simple steps, and now they're geometrically giving us these answers. And talking to you now, I see crop circles in a whole different way. This is so cool.
In fact, the Mandelbrot fractal is one of the most famous crop circles, teaching about fractality. And yes, we wanted to say that if you understood what allowed a shaman to then steer a tornado, if you understood the physics, you could then steer everything that physics knows about. Because physics is made only of tornadoes called string theory and wormholes. And if you watch a shaman steering a tornado with clairvoyance, the shaman says, I am eating the chucha, which is to say, I am consuming the anger of the tornado, which means the shaman is feeling the pain. Hint, the definition of compassion. Now, we know electrically what pain is. Pain is when a fractal bleeds charge. That's why you feel pain in your body, because the fractal structure is broken, and then the capacitive charge leaks out, and that's called pain. And if you restore the compression, the fractality, which the plasma field can do, priori device, then you eliminate the pain. It's called restored centripetal forces, the definition of fractality. So watching a shaman steer a tornado, if you were clairvoyant, you would see that as he feels the pain of the tornado, in a sense, falls in love with the shaman, which is to say, embeds. And because he realizes the shaman feels his pain better than he feels his own pain, so the tornado and the shaman elect to embed, which is to say, phase lock, the center of gravity, the center of the torus, of their plasma fields, their aura. And so the clairvoyant would see these bioplasmic streamers emerge from the belly of the shaman, embedding in the center of the tornado, which is an electric capacitive donut, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That process of perfect embedding becomes the physics that the shaman becomes the center of gravity of the tornado. And what that means is the center of lowest pressure is the physics of what steers the tornado. And what creates the center of lowest pressure? The place of most efficient compression, which is to say, the center of feeling. So when you create this implosion, you create a center of low pressure, and that's what steers the tornado. And that's the physics of compassion. It's perfect embedding.
It's also where like attracts like.
Well, that's a nice way to say it, yes.
Well, because we don't always recognize that that's what happens with our emotions and our feelings. So if you're saying that every string is like a tornado, it's a give and take, as well as consume and you know.
That's right. It's beautiful that you understand this in simple language. It is.
Trust me, don't ask me to spell it either.
Well, what you're calling give and take in physics is called reciprocal maintenance, which is the key word of Gurdjieff, who was trained at the Gurdjieff School in West Virginia, Claymont. But where we were getting to about tornado, this is it's the fact that there's a perfect spiral on the vortex that makes this center of gravity centripetal force. And that takes us to origin of alphabet and origin of propulsion, which is what I'd like to try to talk about in simple terms because it's so self-empowering to understand the psychokinesis.
Can I ask you to get back to that? Because I'm a draftsman by trade. I see things from above, below, sideways, in, out. When you're looking at this vortex, which direction are you looking at it from?
It's true. You see, if you take five spirals going in or going left in a vortex, and then you take the same five spirals in the mirror image going out, that's when you get the nest of pentagrams. But it's true that the net difference between the centripetal and the centrifugal, pulled in the implosive versus the explosive, that is the definition of positive and negative charge and plus and minus magnetics. For example, in simple terms, it's proven that the south pole of a magnet will increase the pain of your toothache, whereas the north pole of the magnet will reduce the pain of your toothache. Cool. But it's interesting that if you take the north pole and you reduce the pain of the toothache, it also decreases the healing rate. So obviously the centripetal force accelerates healing because it requires self-organization. The centrifugal force, the explosion, doesn't increase the healing rate because it doesn't increase the rate at which the waves are sorted. So that's the difference between yin and yang, for example. It's actually centripetal versus centrifugal. And that applies to magnetics, capacitors, charge, etc.
Cool.
And it leads to our discussion about origin of alphabet and propulsion. And that allows us to tell a fun story that I think your readers would enjoy. Many of your readers are familiar with what's called the Vimana. In the ancient Vedas, there were engineering prints so detailed you can build it today of a flying saucer. It's called the Vimana.
Mute.
And the engineering drawings were so accurate, it allowed the Nazis to build a flying saucer called the Glocka, or the Nazi Bell. And when you study those engineering prints, you see a spiral on a torus that they were pumping a high inertial liquid, mercury most likely, and the Nazis realized that if you mix the high inertia of the mercury pumping in a liquid in the spiral and torus, you mix it with a iron powder, it would turn purple. It's a famous purple liquid of the Nazi Bell. And in that way, you made a huge amount of gravity propulsion, actually. And the physics of this is what NASA needs to learn about in order to use the most natural form of propulsion. And what NASA needs to learn newly is, why does an object fall to the ground? And this is why. That when you pump a high inertial liquid on a spiral on a torus, it creates what's called optimized translation of vorticity, which is, if you've ever been to a fluids class in physics called hydrodynamics, it's how the professor defines the golden mean spiral. And what they mean by that translation of vorticity, otherwise known as the L, as in Elohim, is when you translate the inertia of rotation into linear motion without losing any inertia efficiently, non-destructive, you create a translation of vorticity, and you can create a centripetal force. You can create gravity. Now, we wrote some new equations for this, which we think Nassim Haramein should be jealous. They're called the Navier-Stokes equations. And so we're actually building flying saucers, and you can read about it at fractalfield.com.
Oh, I don't doubt it in the least, darn. Go ahead.
Fractalfield.com/propulsion. The equations are in the PDF there. So why is this fun to someone studying spirituality? Let me tell you. If you take that exact same equation for the spiral on the torus, and I did, I mathematically, topologically superpose that on a torus donut. And I animated that, and those the shadows of that spiral on the donut, if you rotate that spiral to the seven axes of a tetrahedron, the shadows you make are called Hebrew and Sanskrit.
Hmm.
In fact, the tagon or crownlet that you see that Rabbi uses around the Hebrew letters are an index for where you are in the three axes of a tetracube. And in Sanskrit, you just take the tag and crownlet off and you put a vertical horizontal bar on, and the Sanskrit letter is the same as the Hebrew letter.
I have to tell you something, because I've studied the tarot through the cube, and each one has a sound effect and a color, and it's alive. And People want to put a derogatory on it when it's not.
No, it's pure plasma physics.
Right.
And what that plasma physics is supposing, you know, when a rabbi holds a sequence of Hebrew letters in his mind, he fills the optical cortex with a particular tilt angle of the torus donut, which is the shape of the charge or magnetic field, which is your brain. So by holding a Hebrew letter to fill the optical cortex with one letter at a time only,
mm-hmm.
you control the tilt or phase angle of the charge domain, dominus vobiscum, the domain, which is your mind. And it's like blowing a series of smoke rings. It's how the horse whisperer worked, or it's the physics of how making a golem is in with the rabbis. So supposing you were dead. There's a famous saying. Someone was talking to ghosts and said, "Well, what is it that you don't like about being dead?" But no, Karatkov measured the electric field of the body after death,
mm-hmm.
and so we know what a ghost is, and we know where your spirit goes after death, and why, and we know the number of minutes after death it leaves your body.
Cool.
Basically. And you can read all about this at goldenmean.info/immortality. So when you're dead, you have the same problem as an astronaut. Your problem is navigation. And this applies to lucid dreaming as well. In fact, the ability to lucid dream is telling you whether you're going to be successful at death, if you're coherent enough to take memory with you, which is the coherence of your aura called your ka, or your boat into the underworld, which is quite literally your cold plasma field, which is your aura. And this is what the definition of a Catholic or a Cathar is. In fact, now we have the electrical engineering to determine if the Pope is a Catholic. It's well documented. It's a GDV. You can find out if his aura is phase coherent. So if the Pope ever wants to find out if he's a Catholic, we can measure that. So at any rate,
that's a heck of an interesting definition, and who gave that reality, though?
It's the only definition that means anything. The Egyptians called it the Kaaba, and what the Ka was the amount of...
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
What the Ka was the amount of coherence in the aura, and the Ba is the amount of that charge which can survive the L translation of vorticity.
An ego meter, man.
Well, the GDV instrument is a clinical device which measures your aura for coherence. For
right.
example, you can instruct your teenager why recreational drugs make holes in your aura by measurement. It's Astral Hygiene 101. GDV, gas discharge visualization, the Karatkov instrument, bio-well.eu, when we use the tech. So anyway, when you're dead, you have this navigation problem, which is controlling the propulsion direction of your aura. And if you understood what alphabets are for, then you have a shot at this. So when you're an astronaut and you want to determine what direction to go, you shoot a thruster in any axis in 3D. And the most efficient way to map those axes in 3D is the seven arrows of the heart, seven arrows of the tetraaxial symmetries, which is the physics of the origin of Hebrew and Sanskrit. And so when you hold a letter in your mind at the right angle, like someone doing a ritual, and they throw that charged donut at the right tilt angle toward a center point, if the two magnetic donuts converge correctly, it's called phase conjugation, they become centripetal, and you can cast so much wind in the room, you can blow the doors off a church, and people will feel the magnetic wind in that room. This is called a Fein Manochian ritual. The point is, this is called casting a spell. And it's simply the physics of centripetal force generated by these donuts converging at the correct angle, called phase conjugation. Again, the way to visualize that is visualize two pine cones kissing noses. You know, in laser physics, the first time phase conjugation, it's called a phase conjugate mirror, it's how Nostradamus saw the future
mm-hmm,
in the bottom
scrying,
of his...
Right.
The bottom of his scrying cup of water was coated with a phase conjugate mirror, similar to the showstone John Dee used to call the angels, similar to the capacitance of the Kaaba stone of the Muslims called Lucifer's Eye, which was a glass meteorite which was propagated with vaporized gold, like the Cathars built red cathedral
window. So the polished metal...
Well, you propagate vaporized gold or platinum group metals through the molten glass, and if the sandwich foam geometry looks like a pine cone, then that capacitor, called the cobblestone of the Muslims, is called a phase conjugate dielectric. And that was ground up and became projective powder, the original philosopher's stone defined by Flamel. And the capacitance of that is such that if you put a grain the size of a rice grain embedded in wax and drop it into red hot mercury in the right centripetal field, and you make gold. And the gold that the British Royal Society measured that John Dee and Kelly made was the purest that had been measured scientifically in history to that date. It's pure physics. And most of the gold in Egypt was made that way.
But it would also be intent from the heart, wouldn't it? For the quality or
You see, dear, you're asking the right questions as usual. No, it's good physics to say that. Why is it good physics to say that alchemy requires pure intention? You've asked the right question. The thing is that the electric field of the heart is radiating that same centripetal physics. It's why crystal growth in Atlantis required a priesthood. And it's why the electric field of your body determines whether the milk curdles into the right geometry of cheese. It's why you know the witch is present if the butter and the cheese crystallize differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's the physics of the capacitive field, which Steiner called an etheric formative force. It's because he didn't know what.
Yeah, he was a trip to read too.
Well, he was stuck on the Christian metaphor, and he didn't know.
But what by his words, actually helped create the congregation of the communication. Anyway, we got our heads up for a break, so we'll be right back. Thanks.
Blessings.
This has been
Thank
great.
You. Okay.
It's amazing. Yes, thank you all for helping support this freedomslips.com revolution radio. And we are back at Adventures of a Feral Hippie. And this has just been a grand day. And y'all know where to go. Come to chat and get the archives, because these shows are really more to re-listen to than just hear once. So I suggest y'all get the archives. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you.
Having a very energetic chat over this show.
Well, we're trying to really do the science of spirituality in a way that, I mean, it's the old problem. The planet is rife with religion war. And if people instead understood miracle worship and personality worship in science terms, they could see the beauty of spirituality without needing to worship miracles and personalities.
It'd be more fun.
Well, it would eliminate the need to shoot each other.
Well, I mean, seriously.
Well, it's historically proven that the Christians were up to their waist in the blood of Jews and Muslims they murdered before the other way around.
I just don't even want to give a shit anymore about that stuff to a degree.
Well, the thing is,
you know.
These wars were about a misunderstanding of what spirituality is.
Plus, right.
If governments actually understood the physics of what it is that allows you to take aura, memory, coherence through death, I mean, if governments actually understood what successful death was, that could then provide an electrical definition for what is the purpose of having a government, which is another way of saying bliss, actually. You see, politics is a word in history that comes from the word body polis. A body polis is like the charge field or cow or plasma field around a hive of bees. They will not swarm, which is to say they will not become plasma projective. Hashem An is the name of someone who is plasma projective. Their aura can be projected. So the hive of bees will not choose to swarm, to travel, unless there's a royal blood present, which is to say navigation, implosive DNA can see among the stars, which is, say, a shaman present, and that there has to be a critical mass of charge of plasma. Plasma is like a bubble of light around your body, and if that's coherent, then it's projectable. So to have
a body polis for people means they have to have an aura that's actually big enough to be projectable. And the way you get a big aura is actually bliss, which is, say, charged radiance. I spent a lifetime writing books about the physics of what is human bliss. It's called Conscious Kids. That book, by the way, is free.
Cool.
The whole color PDF, goldenmean.info/consciouskids. And you can download the whole PDF. It's called Ecstasy and Immortality.
Neat.
And it's about implosion. So the physics is simple, that when you implode charge, like your brain waves make golden ratio, and you feel a perfectly shareable wave, your body implodes, you attract lots of charge from your environment, and your aura gets really big. And this is the beginning of what it takes to implode, braid, phase coherently your DNA, and your DNA becomes implosive, and your aura gets big enough to be called a ka, as in a Catholic or a Cathar, and that's what you take with you if you're going to die well.
Oh my goodness.
So in physics, actually, the ability to collect enough aura to survive death, to take memory through death, take your organs of perception with you through death, we know even the sequence of geometries you see at the moment of death, called the Cluvée form constants, is actually the geometry of DNA braiding. Your aura is saying, implode already so you can distribute your charge, and if you get distributable as a wave, then you can take memory through death. That's why you see that tunnel at death, that wormhole, that vortex. So anyway, the point is, if governments agreed on this physics of how people get enough bliss to get immortal, then you could define the purpose of having politics. Because a body polis, a body politic, exists only if there's enough collective bliss to throw your aura through death. In other words, this is something new information for George Bush, that bliss is the purpose of having politics.
Okay, well, not just him, because I'm thinking Mu, Lemuria, Atlantis. We haven't gotten this yet. That seems like the whole answer to what I've been looking for my whole life.
Exactly.
And then I've had people I've done a lot of this through Native American, and every symbol that you stated, I had gotten through was Native American sweat. It's making my head tingle right now, thinking about it.
And you see, you just had a eureka. Your hair stood up, and you attracted capacitance, the eureka moment, and that was the beginning of the implosion of bliss. Another good historical example is when Akhenaten, we believe, got an assignment from the Syrians to design what we call a bliss temple. He called it Amarna. The Anunnaki called it a Dirana, or a stargate. It's implosive plasma by design. In Sumerian, it was called a shem. I will raise a shem unto the Lord. Sitchin translated that word to mean high word, firestone. In our religion, the Catholic religion, the word shem was translated the altar in the church. The altar in the church is actually an implosive capacitor making a black hole or a bioactive field, because the word ch, chem, as in the chayim, the ch in Hebrew, chet, means access to a black hole, which means charge implosion. So to make a shem unto the Lord was literally to make a bioactive field. Anyway, so Akhenaten had a job, and he was supposed to build a temple called Amarna, which, like Jerusalem, would have been a stargate, which is an implosive capacitor. And what happens is, if a soul group has learned to lucid dream together, and it's critical, then that group can go to this place, which is charge implosive, and have a lucid dream together, and their collective plasma can be accelerated into the heart of our star, the sun, which is an Anu, a Slipknot, which is the only way out of here. It's actually the only way to grow up. It's the only way out of a kindergarten a long way from
downtown.
It
sounds like we have to put all of the parasites into that condition, lock the doors, and say, welcome to the family unit.
Actually, the physics,
because they're using it against us.
Well, the physics is that the center of implosion, like at the center of the temple, creates such charge compression that anything, quote unquote, not of good intention, which
worthy,
is to say, yes, is canceled out. What that means is that, since the physics of pure intention is called phase coherence, which at its climax is phase conjugate. Example, when I invented the mathematics to invent the word heart coherence, when I discovered how to measure second order power spectrum called a sepstrum, you can read the whole story at fractalfield.com/coherence, where I tried to teach the HeartMath Institute the definition of coherence, and they still don't get it. But heart coherence is actually, you can see when you use my mathematics to measure that if someone speaks their truth, their heart coherence goes high. This is my heart tuner invention.
Neat.
So it's actually, you can measure kinesiology, you can measure pure intention, you can actually watch. And if someone says, will you marry me? And if they're telling the truth and they say, I love you, their heart coherence will go up. But if they're telling a lie, it will not. So you can decide whom to marry that way. It works very well.
Oh, that's like a mood ring, man.
Well, the physics is that the measurement of pure intention as heart coherence is simply that biologically, you cannot get max coherence biologically, which is, say, phase conjugation, unless you have pure intention, because pure intention, phase coherence, is simply a perfectly shareable or perfectly distributable wave. The very physics of Christos, the only real meaning of Christianity. Christianity, somebody needs to tell
it's
the Pope.
The correct piece of the pie.
And this determines whether you survive death. It determines whether you get distributable. Now, the practical application is then, when you hold this in your heart and you attract lots of charge, that charge implosion will immediately not just kill any parasites in your body, but it will also kill astral parasites. In fact, it will kill cancer.
Thank you. I'm ready.
what it is that when you have a source of bliss, you have your own source of charge. And that's the first time when you are not a parasite. So functionally, until you've found your bliss, you are electrically a parasite. When you have a source of bliss, it also makes your tornado navigable from within. So it's kind of simple, you know. If you believe that God is outside you, you're going to need a parasite like a priest God is outside.
Excuse me, but yeah.
So this attracts the parasite called a priest who tells you that God is outside you. And so if you eat dead food, it's the same thing. Because if you eat dead food, it attracts parasites to your stomach to eat the death out of you. So if you eat a dead idea, it's the same thing. So it isn't that the parasite itself is evil. I mean, the priest is not evil.
It is that fractal, isn't it? Elementally, to every degree.
The priest actually serves you by teaching you that you don't want any more parasites. And as soon as you believe that the creation physics is inside you, then you don't need the parasite called the priest telling you that God is outside you.
Or the teacher, or the government, or the parent, actually.
This is called self-empowerment. That's why the science of implosion behind the physics of spirituality can eliminate religion wars, because when people take responsibility, but at the same time, this is not easy, because this means you have to take responsibility for your own health. This means you have to take responsibility for your own success at death. So when somebody comes to you and says, oh, well, you're going to eliminate religion. Yes, but that's not going to be easy. This means I need to figure out death for myself.
The Tibetan Book of the Dead.
Yes.
The best explanation for me on that issue.
Well, actually, the Tibetan Book of the Dead measured the time it takes for the aura to leave the body after death, and Karatkov confirmed that 6 and 10 hours after death is correct in the Tibetan Book of the Dead for the physics of the timing at which the aura leaves the body. But did you know that the ghost is measurable because it creates a low temperature point? And you know why? Because it's centripetal. You know, ghost hunters measure the temperature change. The other thing is, the ghost needs to go to the place in the room which is charge implosive. Castaneda called it place of power.
Right.
Because he needs that implosion to get the charge acceleration to become distributable. Otherwise, the ghost is stuck.
I love Castaneda, too.
Well, what he meant by the place of power was actually the place of charge compression, which there is how you define sacred space in a room. And if you go to our website, goldenmean.info/architecture, you can find 3 simple electrical engineering measurements for defining sacred space. It's basically fractal air. For example, when Karatkov followed the Kogi to where they could make phone calls to their ancestors, and he measured the air, he discovered that fractality in air defines sacred space. Remember, phone calls to ancestors has tremendous survival value. The same reason the Hopis knew that their burial ground would be destroyed if the U.S. government put metal pipes, sewage pipes, because the capacitive fractal of a burial ground is the voices of ancestors.
So what a way to destroy the earth with pieces of itself.
with metal. You see, that's why a metal city prevents spirituality and actually the growth of your aura, because your aura can't breathe capacitance. That's why we must teach biological architecture. Prime example, the electric design of how to die and be born. The geometry of the electric field, critical to successful death and birth, is the electrical opposite of a modern hospital. A modern hospital is a pure electrical engineer's definition of hell, because that electric field, full of square electric everything and opposite to conjugate dielectric metal, the heavy metal and electrosmog and dead air in a hospital is literally hell. It's hell in every sense of the term from ancient history. We know what heaven is. Mm-hmm. We know what heaven is. Hei Ave means where the breath of charge can take flight. Hei Ave, heaven. In fact, the Hebrew name for heaven, Plains of Sharon, was also their name for the electric field around monoatomic gold called Holy Communion, served in a white round wafer. The reason the Plains
of Sharon...
The
manna from heaven.
Literally. Yes, it's called manna or meets the spice. And the reason the electric field around gold powder called Plains of Sharon is the definition of heaven is good physics. And even Lawrence Gardner got this right in his book, The Sacred Art. It's because the capacitance around a monoatomic can implode and create very large unpacked electron shells called charge distribution efficiency. And that fractality is the definition of the divine, the sacred, John, eons, gion, perfect branching. It's all about the physics of this perfected charge distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have an electrical engineering to design the place and the environment for successful birth and death. Example, the altar at Machu Picchu, you know, the center of the magnetic rose, the center of Stonehenge. Buildings can be designed to enable successful birth and death where memory comes through the tornado wormhole. And that's goldenmean.info/architecture. And our biologic architecture curriculum is being taught in almost every country on the planet. And right now we're involved in building the electrical design for beautiful temples in Pakistan, Muslim and Christian.
Well, how about just human temples? How about just temples of the source? You know, why do we keep separating and defining that one thing is more than the other when it's all equality the same? It's through the intent of belief of the BS that makes it all chaos.
Well, the definition of temple is the ability to design a capacitor that looks like a fractal, a rose, a pine cone. It's why the ancient stupa, which is also the top of the... structures in Thailand, the stupa looked like a pine cone. Well, actually, today they put these things under metal, and they put metal rebars in it, steel, and that destroys the spirituality, just like the steel wire ropes around Parthenon are destroying the sacred space, just like the steel top they put around Roslyn Chapel destroys every possibility of being sacred space.
Well, it sounds like it's intended.
Well, you know, you could have a conspiracy theory view of this, and you could take that view of this, but my view was that, you know, George Bush was too dumb to be evil. I mean the issue is simply education. You can say, you know, conspiracy, all these bad guys. No, but I say the issue is education, and then what we see and perceive as evil, it simply goes away with understanding. So
no,
I choose
because I'm not always just understanding things. I comprehend things. And the whole idea, Dan, is if the system is being shut off etherically by the mathematics of those equations, that the metal is interfering with the true power behind what you say, temple. And, you know, come on. Where's our magic that we can go back to exchange that so they don't get permission to be that influential?
But again, if we can teach this, I mean, for example, you have biology teachers teaching biology in the center of metal buildings, steel and aluminum, which proves that they do not know what biology is.
Mm.
So in the same way, an architect only should get a paycheck after you measure whether the capacitance of their new building causes a seed to grow. And there's
it's
three ways to measure that.
Organic versus synthetic.
Exactly. But again, here, if we can teach the simplest science, here's the physics of why you should not send your child to a school made of steel and aluminum with electrosmog. Here's the physics. You should show this to the guy who built the school. If you put a seed in a steel or metal cup, you will watch it die. You put the seed in the same temperature and moisture in a wood or a stone cup, you can watch it grow. Now you know why you do not want your child to be in a metal building made of steel aluminum. But now here's why you explain that to an electrical engineer. The capacitance, what Steiner called the etheric formative force, the capacitance of the steel and aluminum cup is what's called harmonic exclusive, which means there's only one or two frequencies there, which makes the steel and aluminum cup a charge isolator, which means no charge distribution efficiency, which means your aura cannot unpack, which means the electric field of your body is stuck. It's the same as your hand feels numb when you hold aluminum in your hand. It's because the capacitance is the opposite of life. Whereas the same seed in the steel, the same seed in a wood or a stone cup, they are what's called high dielectric constant, which means the capacitive distribution of charge is efficient, fractal field. And in that structure, your aura can unpack and pack with total efficiency, just like you feel your aura in the center of Stonehenge. And suddenly you feel this tingle, and all of the space and the air itself becomes syrupy because it's centripetal. And that fractal field is the geometry of Buckminster Fullerene. It's the stellated dodeca, which John Michel called the city of revelation. The stellated dodeca is the geometry of Ezekiel's wheel, city of revelation, the earth grid, the zodiac, and DNA, and I proved hydrogen.
Well, there has to seem to be new thought that is being built on old thought, because that's what evolution is, and that's where we're at, right?
You see how fundamental it is that if we understood the origin of any centripetal force, and remember, conventional physics does not know why any field is centripetal. That's why they don't know why an object falls to the ground. That's why they don't know the cause of electronegativity. And that's why they don't know the cause of life. They don't know the cause of perception. Look, Bill Tiller, one of the most famous physicists on the planet, absolutely proved at Stanford the physics that focused human attention causes electric fields to compress. The book is called Conscious Acts of Creation. So it's undeniable that if you focus attention, you can cause fields to compress. It's the same physics why Uri Geller proved that focused human attention reduced radioactivity. So if we knew what caused that centripetal force, we could know the origin of negentropy, which is self-organization in general, and therefore, not only would we then know why an object falls to the ground, but we'd know what caused life.
Mm-hmm.
Practical example, if you take the poisonous fluorescent light out of your children's classroom and you install sunlight, you create a dramatic, measurable increase in attention span. The book is Health and Light by John Ott. I knew those people. The physics is simple. The frequencies of the fluorescent light are opposite to a conjugate, whereas the frequencies of sunlight based on hydrogen, I have new proof, it's fractal. That's my new equation, the radii of hydrogen. So the frequencies of hydrogen in sunlight create a phase conjugate called a negentropic pump wave. That implosion defines attention. So if the field is centripetal, you know, kids have attention if they're in a stone circle or an ancient tree circle, whereas you put a kid in electrosmog and they have no attention span because the electric field doesn't permit it to be centripetal. So if you know the origin of attention, you can build the field that creates life. That's why it's so critical that we prove this physics of gravity, because then we can prove the physics of life.
What about brick?
Actually, at goldenmean.info/architecture, there is a chart of a hierarchy of fractal fields. So at the top of that chart, the best charge distribution efficiency would be things like gold and palladium. And then you have natural fabric and biologic material. Because the physics is that every molecule that wants to join the exclusive club called life has to get fractal or get dead. That's your new bumper sticker from me. Get fractal or get dead. And so the molecule rearranges itself to get fractal, like the dodeca that's fullerene, or the dodecahedron that's a clathrate of water, which is the most magical state of water, like monoatomic hydrogen, hydrosyl, and microhydrate. And so when that molecule gets fractal, instead of getting dead, it gets charge distribution efficiency and it gets alive. So every molecule that at one time was part of life, you know, calcium, limestone, your natural fabric and cloth, natural stone, natural wood, the acacia hardwood that makes the Ark of the Covenant work as a capacitor to reduce radioactivity, for example, high dielectric. So there's a chart at goldenmean.info/architecture, which explains the hierarchy from best to worst of materials for your house. Now, the worst stuff on that chart, the stuff that you need to run, not walk, to get out of your house, starting with your kitchen and bedroom, is the steel and aluminum, whose capacitance is poisonous to every living thing. Mm. It's why Steiner insisted, he was correct about this, that all children should only touch natural materials, wood, natural stone, natural fabric, and no child should ever even touch plastic or steel or aluminum synthetics, because Steiner was correct. The aura of that child cannot breathe through the capacitance that's not high dielectric, not non-living material, and therefore that inhibits the growth of that child, both physically and spiritually. So that's the introduction to the science of biologic architecture.
Your page is amazing, and I didn't find that because I was looking at the rest of it, but...
Well, the main index, goldenmean.info, link is goldenmean.info/architecture. It's a curriculum for biologic architecture that's used around the world. And that is a foundation stone for the other spiritual aspect of this, which is the definition of peacemaking and teaching peace from the point of view of science. So, and this is our international curriculum on peacemaking as science, goldenmean.info/peaceuniversity. And there we explain that in physics, there is only one form of peacemaking, and that is the negentropy of centripetal force. So if you know how to rearrange electric fields to make a rose, the zero point, the still point you create at the center is called peace. Mm-hmm. That still point is the only definition of peacemaking. Here's a practical example. Professor Phil Callahan, we made a documentary with him, was navigating down the Amazon, and it was critical that he know ahead of time whether the next tribe are going to be peaceful or headhunters. Because in the last village that he visited, the shaman took his Fluke liquid crystal oscilloscope and had to chase the evil spirit out of it using the infrared of his cigar smoke. And the laboratory later determined that there was no law of physics that could explain what that shaman did to that Fluke liquid crystal oscilloscope screen. The point being that Phil Callahan learned the infrared physics of insect navigation and shaman cigar smoke. But that's another story. So what he determined was he could measure in advance whether the next tribe was going to be friendly or headhunters by measuring whether the soil conducted magnetic flux, called magnetic flux permittivity. And the tool he designed to measure that became central to agriculture, Acres Magazine, USA. And so you could measure magnetic flux permissivity through the soil. And not only could a farmer predict in advance whether his land was going to be fertile, but you could predict where war versus peace would break out. He proved it. He went to Yugoslavia, Vukovar. He went to Israel. He went to Ireland. And he showed that when the magnetic lines from village A to village B are broken, war is going to happen. Oh. If you fix that magnetic line between the villages, not only is war eliminated, which is to say the feeling of village A can be communicated with village B, the dream spell, the song line of dreaming, but which is permission to touch for feeling. So village A and village B are now going to feel their feelings of each other, and war will not happen. And they actually proved later they could restore underground water, which disappears after war, using this technique of labyrinth building. So this became literally a magnetic map. Restoring the rose-like magnetism eliminates war. And the other thing that it does is it eliminates drought.
Well, I think we're ready to go to that homepage and check all this stuff out and stick around. We got 30 minutes to go, but here's our next break. Thanks, Dan. Rectally, we ride along, ride along, ride along. Oh, it's just been an interesting day. My mind is semi-fractal, but not really, because this has been where I can feel that for the other occurrences that happen outside of myself, I have gained more inner knowledge and wisdom to use those talents and how to apply them, because the physics is something that we really have been denied. I mean, it's like music, because so much interacts in finding that peace through the temple. I've heard the cosmic music. It's amazing. And if we can, and sometimes it might just seem like a fleeting moment, but enjoy what is being laid out in front of you once you learn to capacitate. And I didn't think we'd discuss this, but what about a Merkaba?
Well, yes, the coherence of the charge vehicle grows when you visualize the two opposing tetra, they're called Merkaba, tetrahedral fire breath. But it's also true the climax version is when that tetra cube, which you have visualized around your body, if you tilt your chin by 32 degrees, the chin angle of the Sphinx, that's the angle that nests a rotating cube into a dodecapent.
But is that to the left or the right?
It goes both ways.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there's still a duality here, Dan.
Well, one is centripetal, one centrifugal. But the point being that then the hex becomes pent, and that's when your body becomes centripetal. The good news is when you do that, you eliminate parasites. And if you don't turn the hex to pent, you will attract parasites only. But the bad news is that if you do that prematurely, you get spaced out. Because it's just like dying without preparation. Because if, in fact, you haven't sorted your memory, you can't withstand compression. In practical terms, this means if you die or sleep with emotions that haven't gone through compression, which is, say, become sorted, then you're not phase coherent enough to be accelerated during compression to get distributable. So it means that if you can do that classic Gurdjieff exercise before bed, for example, where you test to see if you can visualize your day as a film you play in front of your mind without interrupting it. The fact that you interrupted the playing of the movie of your day to get emotional about something that happened means you haven't processed the emotion, means the emotion hasn't been made shareable. It means you're not ready to dream or die well. So when you die, if you can see everything from that totally relaxed perspective, that you have anger toward nothing.
Right.
That means that your charge is implosively compressible and can go through center and achieve distribution. Because you see, at the center point, every memory has been sorted. Another way of saying that is to say that the implosive conjugate centripetal field of DNA, which is where the soul happens, has been in the electrical business for a billion years,
right,
of sorting only which waves serve survival. Mm. So all the memories of your life that serve the collective survival of DNA, which is, say, pure principle, which is eureka, which is why you felt your hair stand up a few moments ago when you thought about the burial ground. So that's a perfectly shareable wave. Now, the physics is that death was only invented to teach us to stop trying to store waves that are not shareable. So every time you think a pure shareable thought, which is, say, you distilled a moment of memory to pure principle, your hair stands up, which means you became an implosive capacitor. Now, if you did that continuously, you would absolutely never die. Whereas if any time you think about something which is not pure principle, which is distraction, which doesn't serve the all, then you bleed charge. So if you learn the skill to only distill every moment to pure principle, a perfectly shareable wave, there is no need to die. So biology usefully created death for that simple biofeedback. Don't try to store waves that are not shareable.
Right, I agree totally. And I let go of everything. I don't hold on to it 5 minutes from now.
But if it's pure principle, if it's pure principle, if it's the electric symmetry that causes gravity and mind and perception, pure fractal principle,
right,
you know, then you hold that forever. Like you grab on to pure principle and you hang on tight. Because if you're thinking about that when lightning hits you, as it did Daniel Brinkley, which he took through death, as it did the hero in the movie Powder, you can inhabit a bolt of lightning and not get toasted if you can hang on to pure principle. And that's what 30 years of intense kundalini is. has taught me is that it feels like you're living in the center of a bolt of lightning. And that's the plasma density that you call God. That's what allows you to inhabit stars. Stars don't go to all that trouble to make DNA for no reason. No,
right.
We were designed to make the centripetal force that not just holds stars together, but makes them sustainable. It was measured 11 times when millions of children sing the same song together. The effect on the solar flare count was dramatic. Okay? That we are making literally what it takes for our star to go, ah.
You're confirming my exact way that I have thought for so long.
Centripetal force. That's what they call those sun gods. But anyway, for the last few minutes of our little show together, there's a little story I wanted to tell.
Go ahead.
The story is called The California Mistake.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Drought 101.
Mm, yeah, let's hear it.
This is sort of a sequel to the Monsanto Mistake. Mm. No, the Monsanto Mistake, which is loss of genetic diversity.
Yeah,
is,
but no swearing on my show. No.
Oh, sorry. Sorry for mentioning Monsanto.
I know. Satan, no. Go ahead.
Goldenmean.info/food, we define the Monsanto Mistake, which is basically thinking that loss of genetic diversity is survivable. It's not. But our ancestors, the Anunnaki, Draco, Uru, they believed that DNA that changes was defective. And that's the origin of sex guilt, fear of women, and the origin of Aboriginal marriage law and the caste system. Because they believed that DNA that changes was defective. So they recorded their genetics, the sequence of toroid domain, ancient Hebrew letters, seraphim genetic records, which the Mormons read in the copper scrolls and the gold plates.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they believed that DNA that changes was defective was because, you see, the Draco Uru, their blood was lipid. It was an oil, which would then be poisoned by water, which is the origin of kosher, because Enlil Yahweh, the Draco, had to have the water removed from his meat. And the other thing is they breathed in nitrogen, they breathed out cyanogen, and their electron transport in blood was phosphorus placed. They were white and red phosphorus. They had white and red Draco. Their bones were more carbon and their nerves more silicon. Silicon nerves mean higher wave propagation velocity for nerves, higher frequencies in the EEG, which meant they had more telepathy, but they couldn't do low frequency EEG, which means no empathy. They couldn't embed in large structures. So anyway, this chemistry of the alien blood, you can read about all of that at fractalfield.com/.
You've been a busy man, Dan.
fractalfield.com/fusion-in-the-blood. There's a recent example of people reverting to ancient Draco blood, the Iradia couple in Russia. They were born too close to Chernobyl. And indeed, for them, radiation is a form of bliss. It's electron transport. Because you see, the Paul Brown nuclear battery, a small amount of gamma rays, triggers electron release. Remember, in their blood chemistry, they can't do bliss the way we can. Whereas we had the iron blood, and the iron blood can do oxygen, and that creates the capability to implode the blood with human bliss. And so we had the capability to create an aura that was star navigable, which they could not, because they had oil blood, the Draco blood. So for us, we can be the vaccine to their Orion wars, because we can make a coherent aura that can go through death, which they lost that long-term memory. They did a couple million years of cloning, and DNA loses a soul, basically. Plus, they lived in metal. So this was the original definition of Nephilim or fallen one, loss of long-term memory, loss of the electric skill to take memory through death, which is the phase coherence of the aura.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just pointing out that learning the chemistry and the physics of genetic history enables us to re-examine what's important about the human condition.
Right.
Remember, when the Dracos used the Greys to abduct lots of Americans, 90% of them were lucid dreamers, mostly indigenous blood. Why were the indigenous blood mostly capable of lucid dream? Because 100 generations on the same land, and your DNA becomes fractal to that land, and you get an aura that's phase coherent enough to lucid dream. So our technology is crap to them, but our coherent aura, the ability to lucid dream and take memory through death, that's why they're still here to harvest our DNA. They no longer need our gold. They can make that monatomics. But our DNA? So once you understand what's the value, then you know why you need to pursue your bliss, because that's the only thing that gets your
aura. Whoa.
Yeah. So
you've blown my mind, Dan, because this is just exactly how I fathomed it.
Yes, it's good. But and then just the last thought we were going to do, which is a California mistake, the physics of drought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can watch most any child within a few minutes, particularly if they're barefoot, who I've told this story many times, can put a hole in a cloud with their mind. It's best if they ask permission of the cloud first. Now, the physics is that we know your focused attention is electrically centripetal, which is called ability to implode. Now, if you put silver iodide seeds in a cloud, you make rain because it makes capacitance, which is centripetal, which teaches the water vapor how to form a droplet, called the principle of crystallization, otherwise known as Christos, how to share well. Precipitation has the same physics for physics as it does for magic, which is the cause, the origin of centripetal force. So, in effect, you know what allows that child to put a hole in a cloud, which is the electric field of their attention has enough inertia. Now, if that child was born in nature and taught to be barefoot on the land, look up the physics of earthing, the new movement, the book Earthing, that access to ground is the definition of health, whereas if you're over the third floor of any building, your chances of having disease are huge. And the physics is you don't get access to ground, which is extra to fractal. The new information is, this is the equation on the cover of my book, that the frequency signature of the Schumann resonance, and Greg Braden was wrong, it's not increasing frequency. What it is doing, though, is the harmonic content of the Schumann resonance is increasing in harmonic inclusiveness, which is the definition of your immune system. The doctor knows you have an immune system if your HRV, your heart, is harmonic inclusive, not harmonic exclusive. So when the frequencies contained in the Schumann resonance increase in the number of present harmonics, you can measure how long the Earth is going to live. So the equation on the cover of my book shows the power spectrum frequency harmonics of the Schumann resonance is a perfect phase conjugate pump wave, implosive. That means you can fix it. That means you can restore negentropy. That means we now know exactly electrically why Lovelock says Gaia is self-regulating. You could actually take the frequencies that are missing in the Schumann resonance and fix it, and the Earth would attract atmosphere better and emerge from chaos electrically better.
I'm ready. What's the recipe?
That's the cover of my book. The recipe is simple. Planck length exponent golden ratio. That's the frequency signature of not the golden ratio cascade caduceus phase conjugate of the Schumann resonance, but it's the definition of the harmonics you find in the human brain defining bliss and peak perception. And my device measures that. goldenmean.info/clinical-intro.
That's gorgeous, too.
The bliss dose. So your brain wastes this golden ratio, alpha, beta, harmonic series, caduceus, cascade, implodes, and the right length hemisphere are 180 degrees out of phase. And your brain makes what's conjugate center, and that creates a longitudinal or long wave, compressional wave electromagnetically from your brain. And that's how Ingo Swann heated a thermistor at a distance with his mind, literally flame in the mind. It's how you know if a Cherokee or a Bonpo is initiated, the bonfire, if they can make a flame with their mind. And now we know the physics of how Ingo Swann did it through a Faraday cage, because it was the longitudinal wave, which goes through anything. And that's the physics of the flame of the mind, and it's a holy grail of plasma fusion. And you can read about that on the website, the plasma fusion physics.
But a flipping Faraday cage is metal.
Well, you see, but he was able to heat that, make a flame with his mind through a Faraday cage, means that no known electromagnetic wave went from his mind to that flame, the thermistor.
So it won't inhibit it, but the Faraday cage inhibits other coming.
Well, the Faraday cage incoming. Prevented transverse waves from going through, which is most electromagnetics, but it allowed only one kind of wave called longitudinal, scalar, or transverse. I'm sorry, longitudinal or scalar. And so that compressional wave, when it reconverges at a distance, can contain heat remotely at a distance. That's the physics of what's called the Foo Fighter. It's how the Luke Skywalker's saber worked. It's remote plasma containment. It's literally, totally eliminates the need for CERN and atom smashers in general, because now we absolutely know the physics of plasma containment, and it's longitudinal conjugate interferometry, and it's absolutely childish that we're wasting enough money to feed Africa every year on these damn atom smashers.
Right.
These physicists are clueless of what plasma containment about. It's longitudinal microwave conjugate interferometry, and it's simple, and it's doable, and it is plasma containment, and it is the holy grail of fusion. Absolutely. So, we only have a few minutes left, and I was just going to, we were trying to tell this story about California.
California, right.
So, we did this in Trimourti in South France, on Côte d'Azur, Cannes, and Trimourti. We taught the French to build a labyrinth. And there was a drought there. And that night, after a very emotional labyrinth making, you know, stone circle and centripetal force and implosion on the land, and the elementals got woken up for the first time in decades.
Nice.
Well, that night, there was the biggest storm they'd had in about 10 to 20 years in South France. Just that night. It wasn't me. I showed them how to make that. But it was the group of people that suddenly were making a centripetal implosive dimple on the land. And the elementals were freaked out, man. They said, oh, maybe they're going to learn how to touch after all. See, the elementals believe that the humans are drunk because we don't talk to them. They do. And so you look at California. Who's talking to the elementals there? Who's making magnetic labyrinths, which is implosion on the land. You have to do it at a magnetic light cross. Who is verifying that the magnetic map of California is a rose? That's my question. And until there is that person, I say they deserve that drought. It's called biofeedback. Because if I was a cloud containing water vapor and I was sailing over California and I was so there was no place for charge distribution efficiency, that every raindrop knows perfectly well that if it falls there, its charge memory is going to die. So every single cloud is correct to avoid California. That's what I say.
I love it. Because it's all the consciousness. They've lost their flavor of what it stood for, because supposedly what happens in California takes over the rest of this country, and I don't like deniability.
It's a total teaching metaphor. It is the physics of the fact that every time you install a highway and you cut a long wave magnetic line, the magnetic rose that is the Earth bleeds charge. And if that happens long enough, I remember driving for hours. We were going to Mount Shasta, and Mount Shasta was in the distance, and there were still some clouds there. And hundreds of miles in every direction, there was this horribly dusty plain with dead fields of all synthetic agriculture as far as the eye could see. Nothing wild, no elemental could absolutely survive there. California was literally what's called a wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, James DeMeo wrote a paper. It's called Desertification and Patriarchy. And in that paper, he proved that the spread of the Sahara Desert was literally mapped to the spread of patriarchy. And what he meant was that laws that prevent permission to touch cause deserts.
Oh, yeah.
I suggest that the governor of California read that paper, Desertification and Patriarchy. You can start at our website about all this, goldenmean.info/rain. So I have instructions for the governor of California to read that paper, Desertification and Patriarchy, and learn something about what attracts rain. And it's when the magnetic map looks like a rose. So excuse me for getting all
neat.
Excited.
No, I love it, because one of my first tattoos was a rose. But it was from a rose I drew, because I love roses.
Well, it's beautiful. But you see, my anger is not my personal anger.
Well, that was excitement. Are you really angry?
Well, I'm angry for those elementals. You know what an element is?
Yes, I do. And I'm playing right along with every story, because, yes, they deserve the right to be here, too. It's their mother as well.
The reason that a square metal electrosmog city kills elementals is simple physics, because the plasma cannot distribute efficiency. Basically, an elemental is a cloud of plasma that's navigable. That's what angels are. You read plasma-universe.org, and you see that the physicists absolutely believe in angels these days, because they see the geometry of interstellar plasma is the map of angel bodies. Well, that's the same thing for elemental forces.
It's amazing when they come over on this dimensional realm, too. And if you don't have expectations, or if you just let your inner light be sight, you'll witness these things. I mean, I've witnessed them. They're amazing.
And what you mean by coming to this dimension is also simple physics. That mm-hmm. you take a cube, rotate it in pent dodec, that's four axis spin symmetry, 4D. But then you rotate that dodec pent down a helix, you exactly map DNA. So that's five axis spin, 5D in the thread. Now, if you braid the braid to the braid to the braid on braid coherently, which is what Bliss does, in DNA to that thread, DNA gets very thick and eventually becomes toroidal. And you get seven spins outside, five inside. So the number of dimensions is just the number of axes of spin symmetry that can be superposed. And obviously, neat. Only the golden ratio allows that. So that's how you go to the next dimension. That's how you ascend. That's the physics of going to the next dimension. It shows up in the power spectra of DNA. It's how you get a soul. I mean, it's beautiful science.
Yeah, it is. I am welcome and thank you for investigating and re-coordinating and enlightening on this subject. We will definitely have to do it again.
Blessings. Thank you.
And people need to get the archives because there's a lot being stated here that you might not get the first go round.
Did I go too fast?
Well, you have that exuberance because you're trying to create the light instead of the death.
Well, you said, dear, that you have had a Bliss experience, and I love that.
Many, even in a metal space.
Yes, that's right. And I have had intense Bliss. That's what Kundalini, the Courage of Gymnastic, all that was. And it's my ability to sustain that charge, which is why I talk fast.
That's okay. I get accused of many things of those natures my own self.
But I think together, dear, we could become a shareable wave, and that's all good.
I think it is. Blessed be, and... do go to your site.
Fractalfield.com.
Peace. Have a good weekend, y'all.
Blessings, everybody.
Yeah, take please. Care. That was okay. Cool.
Bye-bye.
Later, dear. Okay, let's see if this will... I need that. Oh, he hung up. That's cool.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
I have worked with the CIA, NSA, Templars, and Bilderbergers. Now I work for you. My show will disclose secrets of science and esoteric knowledge. Join me, Stephen D. Kelly, for 2 hours every Thursday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time on freedomslips.com, Revolution Radio, Studio A. You can also listen to previous shows by going to youtube.com/freerevolutionradio.
Take a look around, kid. What do you see? Homes being foreclosed. People working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table and still drowning in debt. Don't get me wrong. This country was founded on great ideals and principles. They've all been ruined by the banks. Open your eyes to the banks that are robbing you. You know who my favorite president was?
Who?
Thomas Jefferson. Because he saw all of this coming and tried to stop it. He fought the banks. JFK too, and they killed him for it. The banking institution is more dangerous than an army, he said. He also said that every generation needs a revolution, Jimmy. The American dream is just that. Just a dream. War is a continuation of politics, only by other means. Politics is a continuation of economics by other means. This is our bank. This is our war. And this is our plan of attack.
Banks have become an essential threat to our democracy. So consider this justice.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution, Revolution. Radio!
Really think you could hide it from me by encasing it in lead?
I'll mold this box into your prison bars.
Don't touch it. That's kryptonite, Superman. Little souvenir for the old hometown.
You were great in your day, Superman. But it just stands to reason. When it came time to cash in your chips, diseased maniac would be your banker.
I have to leave you now. No hard feelings. We all have our little faults. Mine's in California.
Stop!